Morning, everyone. Happy New Year to you all. Hard to believe that this is the beginning of 2017. It's a crazy thing to think that we have gotten to the point now where it's time for us to welcome the inbreaking of the new year. I went into the office to get a drink of water really quickly in the sun, and I noticed that the sun came out. And there's something about the sun shining down on snow and just looking at how beautiful it is. To remind us of the beauty of creation, but also the gift of new life. Having worship, especially on 1-1, is a very interesting thing. I'm glad that you all are here this morning. We were not sure if it was just going to be me and Dion and a couple other people, and we're so glad that you all are here this morning, especially with the snow. We knew that it might keep people away, but glad that you all are here. And what a way for us to start the new year, isn't it, for us to begin on 1-1 to gather together in worship, but also to join together in the institution of Holy Communion and give thanks as well for the gift of love and of life and the joy of this Christmas season. As we have welcomed Jesus into our hearts over Christmas, we also give thanks as well for the story of Jesus as he makes himself known to his disciples throughout his story and then gathers his disciples as he's ready to leave them and offers them this gift that helps them to know that his presence will continue to be with them in everything. As I was thinking about this being the new year, I was wondering if you all have made New Year's resolutions. I don't see any heads nodding. You guys haven't done too much, huh? Okay, well, today's our day to think about that, I suppose. But I want to ask it in a different way, too. I want you to think about it in the context of this. What are our New Year's aspirations? Not just what is it that we want to improve about our health or things like that or maybe different habits that we want to change, but what are our hopes and our dreams? What are the things that we hope for in our families, in our church, in our community? What are the things that we aspire to as a community? Today, I wanted to talk about that in the context of the scripture readings, as you all have heard in Dion's children's sermon and also in the scripture readings, that it feels like to me that as I think about these days, this is a time to love. And I'm imagining that as I articulate it that way, you'll all go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, Reverend Derek. We should all love. And really, I want to focus that, and actually, we're going to be talking about that over the next few Sundays. We're starting a new sermon series starting next week, and it's on this book called Great Spiritual Migration by Brian McLaren. I actually have some copies of the book already, and we'll have it in fellowship if you'd like to purchase that. But we're going to start talking about it next Sunday. But today's sermon is going to kind of help to lay some foundation for that. But we're thinking about it in the context of love. And you know what made me think about that today was, or the last few days, was I heard this story during the holiday season. Did you hear this story about the man who was driving? And as he was driving, he came upon a car that was stuck in the snow. And he came up to the car, and he noticed on the car that there was a Trump bumper sticker. And what he did was, he left. He left. And I thought, what a powerful story. And not only did he leave, he bragged about leaving on Facebook. He told this story. This is himself telling the story. He tells the story on Facebook about how he came up to this car, adrift in the snow, a person who had pulled off onto the side and is sitting in the snow, and as he approached, noticed that there was a Trump bumper sticker and drove off. And I thought to myself, obviously you all know that I didn't vote for Donald Trump, and yet that story was so powerful, and I thought to myself, boy, is that what we have come to? I realize that we are divided as a nation. I realize that there is so much in our country that is really testing us in terms of really coming to understand how we can be a united country with such great difference in this world, in our country and in the world. But that story really hit home for me because I thought to myself, is that really what we've come to? That we've come to the point where we're not even going to help another person if there's somehow a disagreement with that person, if we have a different opinion about that, things with that person, if we're thinking about this life and realizing that we are just not on the same page, that we're going to just walk away from somebody who has great need? Or is there more? And it made me think, maybe it is a time for us to think about love. Now, as I describe love this way, it's important for us to know that I'm not talking about a soft, sentimental kind of love that just has warm feelings for other people. It certainly is that, but in a biblical sense, love is more than just that. And so Ron's going to run some slides that we created for the worship service. Oh, that's the Happy New Year sign. Go ahead and go, Ron. So when we think about love, it is characterized in the Bible in three different kinds of ways. The first one is eros. Eros is a romantic kind of love. That's the love that you feel for your spouse. And it's an important part of love. It's an important kind of love, but that's not the kind of love that we're describing in a biblical sense. The second kind of love in the Bible is philia, which is a friend kind of love, or many of you know that Philadelphia is known as the city of brotherly love. It's sometimes called brotherly or sisterly kind of love. But both of those loves have a kind of contract that is sort of made in relationship. I love you, you love me, I give something to you, I get in return. And what we're describing in the Bible is a different kind of love altogether, and this is the third kind of love that we're talking about. This is the love called agape. Agape love is an unconditional love or a godly kind of love. And that kind of love is built not for ourselves, but solely for the other and for the greater good. And so when we think about agape love is a love that is built on how we can love others, how we can love our creation, how we can love our animals, how we can love this world in a different way that enables us to know that we are expressing a sense of wanting to do something for someone else with no benefit to ourselves other than just offering the love itself and seeing in that a greater good. That's the kind of love that we are describing today. And so when we talk about that kind of love, we realize that that love has a great requirement to it. It's more than just having good feelings about it for someone else. When you drive by a person and you see their Trump bumper sticker, you might not necessarily have a warm feeling for that person overall. And yet what is being asked of us is to think about them beyond just the things that make us different and realize that the kind of love that we are talking about is generated by God inside of us, the Christ who's born inside of us that we desire to express and do so in a way that is solely to be a blessing to another person. That kind of love is challenging. That kind of love asks us to think differently about how we relate to others, more than just what we would get out of a relationship, more than just how it makes us feel inside. It's also what can we do to benefit and bless someone else alone. And know that the residual effect that comes back to us, the secondary effect, might be the blessing that we receive, but we don't do it for that purpose. When we give that kind of love, we know that sometimes we do not get a response in return, but don't need the response. When we offer that kind of love, we don't do it for the response. We do it because that is what God has called us to do. And that kind of godly love that has the power to transform our world. That kind of love has the power to heal and to save and to redeem our creation, our relationships, our world. It has the power to change this world when we live that kind of love. And so as we think about it this morning, that's the kind of love that we want to talk about. Go to the next slide, Ron. So when we think about love, that kind of love is expressed in many different kinds of things. More than just as a warm feeling, it's expressed in some ways, some words that I thought of that is a way to think about it. Go ahead, Ron. Thinking about love as expressed in justice, in sacrifice, in loyalty, in suffering, in self-giving, in truth-telling, in compromise, in compassion, in forgiveness, in accountability, and acceptance. Think about love in that context and realize that that is not always a friendly love. That is not always the kind of love that we would think of when we think of it as a warm feeling. This kind of love is one that is driven by how God moves inside of us and the ways in which we are enabling ourselves to be a vehicle for the betterment of another person. So like when we get to the one about truth-telling, that's always a fun one to mess around with because I know people who like to tell the truth for their own good. But we need to remember that truth-telling, even in that, is done to bless another. Sometimes it does open their eyes to see things about themselves or this world in a different way that is important. But we do it not to put them in their place or to tell them what's true, but we do it so that they might come to understand and have their eyes open to a new way of living and being in this world. We do it for their benefit so that they might be blessed by that. If you think about those others, they're all built on how we can help others to live the whole life that God has given to them and how they might experience the gift and the fullness of this life in ways like this. So as I'm describing this to all this morning, I'm thinking, and I'm hoping, and I'm going to ask it as a question, I'm thinking that you might be thinking of one specific person, one specific situation, one specific place where you might feel that that kind of love is a challenge for you and a place where you might take yourself. And so what I want to do is ask you to think about it in this way, and I'm starting us off on the New Year's thinking about it this way. Where is that place, and who is that person? What is that situation? And how can you best respond with the kind of agape love that we are talking about? Maybe that love is going to send you to a person that you have a broken relationship with and ask for you to try to build a bridge where there is this brokenness. Maybe this love is going to ask you to step outside of your comfort zones and go into the community to serve in needy places where folks are suffering. And know that that is an expression of that agape love as it moves inside of us. Maybe it is that that kind of love is going to call for us to make a sacrifice, to sit next to or with a person who needs us and help them to feel a sense that we are present with them. And so that's my question for all of us today is, how do we think about this, and where would we live this out in this year, and what is our hope for that? What is our aspiration for that relationship, for our earth, for this church, for our community? And if we can envision and dream it, and God can move it inside of us, then how do we respond? I was trying to think about a good way to close this sermon and move us into the communion. And, of course, I've always heard that if you tell a good dog story, everybody loves that. And so I'm going to tell a good dog story, and I'm actually going to start it by showing you a video, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about this video and how it came to pass. Let me tell you the story. It was hard to read the print. So this man, Mikhail Lindholm, he is an adventure racer, and adventure racing is done over this grueling, like, 400-mile course in which they have to kayak, hike, ski. They have to do all of these things in this adventure. They came to a place where they were getting ready to transition from one event to the other. They had walked. They had bicycled for several miles, several hundred miles. They came to a transition point where they stopped in this center to get a rest, to get a break, and then to begin walking. And as they were sitting there, they noticed this dog there was a pack of dogs walking around, and they noticed this one dog that was walking around, had a big wound on his back, but was walking around looking for food. But the man who in the story said that the dog looked really bad and he smelled really bad, and he knew that no one was going to feed the dog. So even though he was running low on rations himself, he gave this dog some Swedish meatballs. And the dog ate and sat next to him. And so they said, okay, let's get going. So they started on a 70-mile hike. And as they started out on the 70-mile hike, what they noticed was that the dog followed them. As they kept going, they tried to send the dog away because they knew that the road ahead was going to be a very difficult road. And yet the dog kept following them. Everywhere they went, they slogged through mud, they went up mountains, they tracked on the snow. Everywhere they went, the dog continued to follow them. That's one of the pictures that they note, was that sometimes this dog was all the way sunk into the mud and found a way to get out of the mud and continue to follow this team that he had adopted. And so as they were going, they kept helping one another. When one of the team got sick and was down, he laid right by them and stayed with them. So they get to this turning point into the story, and they come to this place where they have to now go from walking. They had walked 70 miles, and this dog had gone with them over a day. And they get to this turning point in their trail, and they realize that they're going to have a problem because they're now going toward kayaking. And the people who are leading the race, the race official said, you can't take the dog on the kayak. The dog won't survive on the kayak, and it's going to make it much more difficult for you all to make it through this water. And so they decided to leave the dog. And they thought, well, maybe we can come back. We don't know what we're going to do, but we'll just leave the dog. And so they left the dog on the shore and started to put their kayaks out and started to make their way into the water. And as they started going, all of a sudden, the guy, Mikhail, describes, he's paddling along, and all of a sudden he hears, "Joosh!" And he turns around, and what does he see? He sees the dog paddling next to them. So much so that they realized that this dog was going to continue to follow them no matter where they went. And so what did they do? They picked up the dog and they put him in the kayak and they started on their way. And he stayed with them. The kayaking portion of it was 40 miles long, 14 hours the dog stayed with them. And they continued to walk on this trail and the dog stayed with them. And the dog finished this with them. 3 full days of hiking where they were sleeping very little, where they had very little food, but they shared it with the dog because he's one of our team, they said. And so they shared a portion of the food with the dog. They came to the place where they were finishing the race and now beginning to transition, and they kept the dog with them. And so they were getting ready to say goodbye to the dog, and some people from Ecuador said to them, "You do know, don't you, that if you leave the dog, he's going to die here." Because in Ecuador, dogs are running loose, packs of dogs are running loose, and the normal lifespan is about 3 to 4 years in Ecuador. And so they said, "You do know that this dog is going to die if you leave him here." And so they decided to try to figure a way to adopt him and bring him home. And so they worked with government officials both from Sweden and from Ecuador and were able to set up an adoption. They were able to do it 20 minutes before the plane was going to leave. The final papers came in. They were able to get the dog on the plane and get this dog back to Sweden. But he was very, very sick, and so they had to take care of him. He was quarantined for 4 months, as Swedish law requires, and they took care of his wounds. They bound him up. He had a couple of surgeries. And these are pictures. This is a picture, I think, of him being quarantined. And that's what he looked like. Go to the next one, Ron. That's what he looked like after the quarantine, after a bath. And this is a picture of his family now. Now, I tell you that story. Of course, I was watching this on the news the other day. And, of course, I love dog stories to begin with. You all know how dogs are for me. And as I was thinking about the story, I was thinking I wanted to share the story with you. And that as you're thinking about the story, it might be that you would say that it was this love of a person for a dog that made the power of the story. But I want to tell you, it's the reverse. It's the dog's love for the people and his willingness to follow wherever they went. The story for me is about long-suffering love, sacrificial love, love that makes itself known in staying by someone's side. And as I was watching this story, I was just moved to tears because it reminded me of the kind of love that we are talking about. As we are describing a love, a biblical love, when we talk about it in the context of we as people, that it may be that a dog might be for us a powerful example of what it is to be able to live out agape love, love that is sacrificial and self-giving, love that is long-suffering and devoted, love that is loyal and is trusting. And so for us today, as we come to the communion time, we are reminded of the gift of Jesus in this season. In the Christmas season, we remember it as coming to us through baby Jesus, a sign of God's love for the world and a desire for us to receive this love and to offer this love to each other. But it is also a time for us as well when we come to communion to remember the story in Jesus' journey with his disciples. As he walked in this journey with them, he sought to teach them about agape love, about the kind of love that is sacrificial and self-giving and long-suffering and is willing to be devoted and loyal to each other. And in that, come to find that they came to experience the fullness of Christ's presence in that. And so for us, I pray that when we come to the table this day, that we would remember all of that. And my prayer this day is that as you're coming to the table, as I've been talking today, my prayer is that you will think about a person, a situation, a place where you want to be in community, in this church, in our neighborhoods, in our world, where you are and feel this sense of aspiration to be able to be the presence of Christ in the world and be able to offer this agape love in a way that will be life transforming. And so as we come to the rail this day, we give thanks for the agape love that Christ showed to his disciples and all of us when we received this gift of communion, but we also give thanks as well for the ways in which that calls us then to live that agape love out for others.